The pulse of the background screening industry. Brought to you by iCubed Advisors.
I'm reading the Bond King.
You're reading what, Kevin?
I'm reading the Bond King. It's about Bill Gross at PIMCO, who's like a world famous bond trader for decades.
Did I give that to you?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Yes. I thought so. And I'm like, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I grabbed it when you were throwing stuff out of your house. What I like about that is it shows just the power of people, companies, et cetera, to move markets in ways that we as people living our lives, doing our jobs, like don't even see. Just the behind the scenes impact, the financial engine, liquidity, cash flowing through the system. So really, really interesting book. I'm about 2/3 of the way through it.
Cool. I just finished it's the first fiction book I've read in years, the new Dan Brown book. It was kind of
I do like it.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's worth it. It's interesting. It's a little long. But I just started, I didn't even bring it home to Cleveland with me, but Joe Manchin's book, it's called Centered, about being just in the center of politics. It's really interesting.
Oh, I'll have to get that. That sounds good.
Senator Manchin's book. What about you guys?
As ever, I'm listening to my dorky, I'm all fiction all the time. I don't need any more reality than what I have in my life. So all of my fantasy geeks unite, because we don't need to know what's going on out there in the real world.
Yeah.
We need to escape.
I'm reading a Daniel Silva fiction book right now, his latest. He's a great writer that I enjoy. And on the nonfiction side, I generally reserve that these days for podcasts. That's where I'm getting my daily dose from, the Wall Street Journal daily podcast. And I also listen to something called Call Me Back, which is a podcast that deals with what's been going on in Israel and the war. So I listen to that regularly.
Oh, I'm gonna check that out.
Serious reality.
Right, exactly. It's done by a guy named Dan Senor, and he's really incredible. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Huh. Andy, anything? What do you got?
Still trying to work my way through this book. It's called The End of the World is Just Beginning. It's basically this thing about how the globalization is coming to an end and the world's going to fall apart. Nice uplifting stuff. But.
Oh, wow. I'm really excited. Will you let me know how it ends?
Can't wait until it comes out in a movie.
Oh, I got a spoiler alert for you. I could tell you right now, but that's why I don't read that stuff, because I don't need my cynicism to be any more evolved than already is. Well, on that happy, uplifting note, with all the beautiful, scary things that you could be reading about, instead, here you are with iCubed Advisors. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our latest webinar. Now, guys, this is a really intimate little industry prep sesh. I don't think it's lost on anybody that we're all going to be in Anaheim in about, 10 days, something like that, less than maybe. We are all getting together for PBSA's annual conference, and I love that everybody's coming to my coast. Thank you so much for not making me go down an airplane. That brings such joy to my heart. I do have to drive on the 405, but if you're Southern Californian, that's just part of life, what we do here. So that's okay.
I mean, I'm positive they chose the location just so that it would accommodate you. So this is awesome.
I love when that happens. There's nothing more that I love than being accommodated. So much appreciated. I'm going to hand it over to Kevin real quick now that everybody's kind of entering the room and trickling in. Of course, yes, housekeeping stuff first. Of course, it's being recorded, guys. Don't worry if you miss something absolutely riveting that one of us say. You'll be able to rewind it later and see it again. The chat pops off in these conversations all the time. And I hope one of you guys can be monitoring the chat probably a little bit closer than I will be able to today. But you have that chat. Go ahead and get active in there. We do have the Q&A function, although this is going to be a pretty relaxed, informal conversation with just us friends today, talking about PBSA. So feel free to keep it in the chat. Do let us know, or do put it in the Q&A if it's something that kind of gets lost in there. You want some extra attention on, feel free to use that function as well. Before I hand it off to Kevin officially, I just want to shout out these beautiful AI gentlemen that are attending PBSA.
Shall
Clearly.
I pat myself on the back now or just bow?
Bow.
Well,
I think a
thank
bow
you.
is in
This
favor.
once again, for the second webinar in a row, I have used Gamma, which is an incredible AI presentation builder, and I was able to make that happen. I'm so proud of myself.
Well, you know what, Nick? It knows you very well because it made everybody in the picture short.
Well, I did give it instruction to say, make them look like me. I just don't understand why there's not more baldness in the report.
We love a short king, Nick. We love a short king. All right, Kevin, tell us about our sponsor today,
Yeah,
Informatica.
make it a shorter, less handsome version of Nick. That was your instruction, right? We always like to thank every attendee for joining us. And I say this every time, and it never feels old, and I still mean it from the heart. Everybody has work, life, things to do. You chose to be here with us. We appreciate that. We value it. We're humbled by it. We want to give you the best 60 minutes we can. Jason yesterday told me, he said he wasn't worried that he was worried we wouldn't have enough to talk about. And I said, the Browns will win a Super Bowl before we run out of things to talk about. Because we got about
The
4
Browns
hours
just need
of
to win a
time.
game.
We got about 4 hours. We're going to try and cram into 56 minutes here. But of course, I want to start by thanking Inform Data, today's sponsor. Inform Data, sponsoring today's episode. They're the background screening data partner behind brands that you trust. Inform Data helps their partners deliver fast, compliant background checks with nationwide court research, verifications, and continuous monitoring solutions. They do all this through reliable workflows and modern APIs. They'll be at PBSA. Reach out to find them, schedule some time, or visit them at Inform Data to learn a bit more. And thanks again for sponsoring today's episode, guys.
Thank you, Informed Data. Panel for today, guys. I don't think we're not gonna. Well, you're gonna hear enough from all of us today. I'm sure we don't need to give it too much, but just real quick, I'll go around the room and have each one of us introduce ourselves first and foremost, starting with myself, of course. I'm not iCubed Webinars. I'm Bianca Lager, and I work as a consultant with iCubed on a variety of things, a lot of executive coaching and consultative work with revenue, so like sales and marketing, thinking about how to strategically grow your business for your next phase. So, Nick, you're up next, my friend.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nick Fishman. I work for Bianca. A lot of the,
They
a
all do.
lot, a lot of the work
True.
that I'm doing now is in go-to-market and grow in market strategy. I'm also, to the best of my abilities, trying to get up to speed on AI as much as I possibly can. So those seem to be the predominant topics that I've been talking about with CRAs lately. Hey, Bianca, really quickly, I'm not sure if you can see this, but on the screen, there's like a pop-up that says "Allow Google Chrome to find." I don't know if that's on yours or not, but
Yeah, it's
no,
definitely good.
okay. Sorry
Is that
about
on my
that.
screen, guys?
Yeah, it's on
Yeah,
your screen.
it
interesting. I
might
don't
be
see it at
hidden
all.
behind the presentation. I'm not exactly sure
Yeah.
what's going
So
on.
while
Well,
we figure that out, I'm
let me
Kevin
stop
Bachman.
the share. Oh, I see. Okay, now I see it. I stop the share. You guys continue. Jason, tell the
All
people who
right.
you are.
I'm Jason Morris. I'm with iCubed Advisors. We
Keep it to 30 seconds, please.
I
And now
focus
you have
my time.
22.
I focus my time on mostly expert witness work and recruiting. I do a bit of consulting, but just try to get out there as an evangelist for the industry that I love.
Sounds
I'm
good,
Kevin
Jason. Well
Bachman.
done. Well done.
In addition to the work that we do here and the podcast that I host, Background Check Radio, I spent a lot of time thinking about how to help CRAs improve their business, increase their profits, grab more margin. Thinking a lot the last 6 to 12 months around new products. And I point that out because I'm not a new product guy. I'm more of a blocking and tackling guy. But I think we're really at an inflection point within our industry. How do we make money? How do we serve our clients? How do we meet them where they are and help them identify the risks on the end user level that they don't necessarily know that they have? So I'm spending a lot of time in that world. Expert witness work is picking up. And again, happy to share some of our thoughts here with everyone today.
Andy.
I guess that leaves me. So yeah, Andy Hellman. I joined iCubed beginning of this year, mainly to enjoy the witty banter that we engage in. But beyond that, also to do international compliance, privacy type stuff's kind of my main focus. But also, like Nick, starting to do more and more on the AI side of things, doing some vibe coding projects, and happy to announce I just created my first AI agent yesterday, a pirate talking agent over Claude to do things for you. So that was kind of fun. So yeah, that's me.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, I'm just so thrilled to be with you all and to be talking about PBSA. I think it's given each one of us special opportunities. And in your guys' careers, of course, as it advanced, tell us a little bit, Jason, if you could. Again, Kevin has a time limit on you, okay? Tell us a little bit, if you could, about the evolution of iCubed. Like, what is iCubed now? How have you gotten here? And a little bit about how PBSA kind of plays into iCubed.
Well, it's funny because we Kevin and I were together last night, and there's a guy that we've both known for many, many years, and he's like, "What do you guys actually do together?" And I gave him the history, and then I was like, "And we accidentally built like a real consulting firm," which we never really intended to do. So it was kind of just something that we were going to do passively. But yeah, now we've got all these consultants, and we're all pretty damn busy. So we handle everything in the background screening industry. We do everything from consulting, which, as Nick and Bianca mentioned earlier, go to market, sales, helping with account management, all kinds of stuff that we do as consultants for our clients. But we also do M&A advisory. We do a lot of recruiting, generally director level and above. But if you're looking for top talent and you're looking for people with industry experience, we're always the go-to people. We do some business advisory with the M&A advisory. And one of the things that keeps me the busiest is expert witness work.
Excellent. Well, that's us guys, and we wanted just to kind of give you guys some context of it. Like, who are we? Why would we be talking about this? Why does it matter? And what kind of perspective are you going to get from us today? So, for the most part, again, like I said, we're gonna have a pretty casual conversation. We really would love to hear from you, chat any questions, chat about like what you're thinking about with PBSA as it's coming up. What sessions are you going to check out? Is there something here that we're not saying, something that we're missing? By all means, let us know. First and foremost, I want to kick things off, and I'm going to just kind of throw it out there. And this is dangerous to do, to not call in somebody and let one of you chime in. So I'll let you duke it out for microphone space here. But what makes PBSA the cornerstone event for our industry, right? How has it evolved over the years? And what is it that makes it the kind of cornerstone event, especially the annual conference? Who wants to chime in first?
I could start. I mean, we started this, I was one of the few people that got together to help start the association back in early 2000, like 2002. And our first conference was tiny. There was probably less than 100 people there, and it was just a bunch of eager people in a new business, in a new industry, trying to figure out how the hell to do things. And what it's evolved into is pretty unbelievable. We get 700, 800 people at our annual conference. There's two conferences a year. It's dedicated just to the background screening industry, and I can't tell you what it's done for my career. I mean, in our business, for the 20 years that we owned Employee Screen IQ, a lot of our great ideas came from NAPBS, PBSA. A lot of our biggest clients came from either directly from PBSA or through relationships we had with people at PBSA. I credit it with a lot of the success that we had as a business.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'll just say it is the not only the largest, but really the only place where CRAs can come and meet with each other, learn more about the industry. To me, the best part, and it's not even close, is the networking that takes place. Jason, I'm going to give, I hate to give Jason credit. I'm sorry to do that. But seriously, from the early years, he was very adamant about maintaining very good relationships with everybody, including people, that we competed really heavily against. And I think that we have, and PBSA has fostered a very collegial group of people that genuinely like each other and like to learn from each other. So I think they've done a really good job with that.
I'll agree with Nick and Jason on the impact to the business, certainly the one that we ran. A question I have for the group, and yeah, Nick's right. Like, we used to tease Jason, he'd come back and American Pie was still fresh enough and
Right,
everybody was
exactly. We called it band
25
camp.
years. Yeah, we call band camp, back so excited. Hey, this idea, this person, that blah blah. We didn't send six people. It was usually one or two of us from our company. So yes, for us, for 15 years, tremendously impactful in our business growth and strategy. The question I have for you guys, because I have a feeling and I don't like having this feeling, so I'm going to ask you guys a question. Is our experience unique or normal?
I think it's pretty unique. I don't. I
I
have
think
lots
it's.
of friends.
Yeah, go
Go
ahead.
ahead. I say I have lots of friends in lots of different industries that I talk to on a very, very regular basis. And I talk about going to this conference and are being excited to go to the conference. So like, why? And I'm like, 'cause it's more like a family reunion almost at this point. And I don't know anybody else that has that in any other industries right now.
Yeah, from an industry standpoint, I've been in a couple other industries, and this is why, again, what I think Jason was doing in terms of the hard networking, even among competitors, is so different because other industries are very cutthroat, and you really do not have much to do with your competitors. So I do think that it is somewhat at least unique compared to the other experiences I've had.
Yeah, I think
What
it.
Go ahead, Andy.
so I think also that beyond the conference itself, all the networking, the relationships built, that's what lets us do a lot more as an industry too, right? Because we do a lot at the conferences, but you think about all the stuff that happens throughout the year, legislation and advocacy and all those other things, because we meet together, because we go have a couple beers together, you build up that trust and kind of develop those relationships. That's what lets us all work together. Yeah, there's certainly competition that goes on, but there's a lot of stuff we do collectively that's really important that I don't think would be anywhere near successful without that ability to be face to face, spend a few days together and get to know each other.
Yeah, if nothing else, just the push on, compliance and legislation and litigation matters, if that was it, that would be enough. But I think some of this other stuff, like the networking that we get out of these conferences and things like that, those are, just icing on the cake.
Yeah,
I want to
I agree with that.
go ahead.
Go ahead, Amanda.
I want to dive into that really like tangibly for folks today, right? And we're talking about, people talk about networking. Networking is kind of a buzzword, right? But how that translates into real business impact is important. And Jason, you touched on that a little bit, but I think from the perspective that you all have, and we all have too, certainly my own perspective. I've been an attendee, I've been a speaker, I've been a sponsor, I've been at the booth, like you name it, right? And so I think what PBSA does is brings together CRAs, tech vendors, suppliers, and I think that creates a really unique value for folks that are in any part of that system. Let's talk about that, like that kind of cross section. How do you think that people can really amplify that? How do you think that really makes a difference, really tangibly in the business impact that each one of these folks who are attending are created? And let's look at it from the attendee perspective, right? You're an attendee, you're coming, and you have a cross section of all these different people in the chain here. What kind of business impact can you leverage from that kind of community that you're networking through?
I think a lot of the networking that's done there is done incorrectly. It's people that are kind of sitting in the exhibit hall. They'll go to some of the events. They'll try to shake some hands and meet some people and get some business cards. The people that really benefit from the networking are going to the private events. They're going to the bar at night. They're having, real conversations with people outside the exhibit hall. I think that's where the value is. I've
Jason, you talking
never
about for
gone
sponsors or attendees?
attendees. For
Okay.
attendees. So I think it's important to get involved in the events and be at the bar at night and go to some of the vendor dinners, and those are the real opportunities to get to know people. It's a lot more difficult when you're passing by the booth and just dropping off cards and exchanging business cards.
Yeah. Well, and I and I mean, I definitely agree with you, but having been on the sponsor side of this, the sponsors are obviously paying a lot of money to be there and probably defraying a lot of the costs that ordinarily attendees would have. And so I think there's got to be a mix, like, you know, and you're not going to force attendees to go talk with people, but I do think that they need to find a way to drive more value for these sponsors to continue to pay the kind of money that they're paying. And one of those ways is by encouraging the attendees as much as they possibly can to interact with them. I agree with you. Like sponsors and attendees, they should not just go, you know, into the conference hall, stand in a booth, and hope to have conversations. You've got to get out there. But I don't want to underestimate the impact that the sponsor's money has on this, and the fact that there needs to continue to be value there for them to pay out this kind of money.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I think the business card thing in the exhibit hall has to happen too, but you need to take a step further to get to know people.
Yeah, I think there's two different things that kind of go on, right? There's the meeting somebody, and that can happen in the exhibit hall. You can go by and find a new vendor. Somebody's doing something different, whatever. Go have a chat with them. That's just finding out about something. It's basic education. Then there's like the real networking where you're getting to know somebody, developing a relationship, getting more in depth. That's not so much always in the exhibit hall because there's 10 people waiting in line to talk to whoever it is behind you because everybody can hear your conversation and you want something a little more private for lots of reasons. So I think the exhibit hall serves a real purpose, but it's not necessarily that deep networking. Sometimes it's finding a new vendor or learning about something new, making a new connection for the first time.
So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and I don't know if the word crass is the right one or cranky, but I'm a little bit of all of it because I agree with a lot of these thoughts. And I keep coming back to kind of the sentence in my head, and the sentence is like, well, does it really matter? What I mean by that is whether I have a ton of conversations, not conversations inside the exhibit hall, outside of the exhibit hall, good leads, not enough leads, whatever. The money's not in the room. And that has just been sticking with me for like 2 years, and it is nobody's fault. PBSA does a fabulous job, I think, running these conferences. But the money, the decision makers, buyers, we've talked at length over the last couple of years. Eight companies have two-thirds to three-quarters of the market. Like, if the money's not in the room, I can do all of these things amazingly. But if my best opportunity is with a $3 million CRA and maybe they can buy $20,000 of products with it, like it's just at some point the math has to math. So I balance all of this and all these strategies with, and I know Bianca has this and we'll talk a little more about this later, but like just where the industry is, where the buyers are, where the end users go, whom they choose to partner with. They are increasingly partnering with CRAs that do not actively participate
All
or
right,
attend
that's a,
have
so
buying
Kevin, I
share.
struggled to understand where your comments were coming from with the money not being in the room. And I tend to agree with you. So you're really referring to the biggest companies in our industry are not sending people the way that they used to. They might not be sending decision makers the way that they used to, and they're certainly not sending executives the way that they used to. Is that fair?
Exactly.
Yeah,
Higher
I
Right, I
agree
think,
with
is the
you.
best CRA from a leadership standpoint, supporting PBSA, speaking on panels, governance, etc. But yes, everything you're saying, Nick.
Yeah, and I agree. And here's the thing. It's easy to like, I don't want to be overly critical of PBSA because it's not for lack of trying, but there have
Correct.
got to be different ways to engage those people to come in, whether it's to run an executive level track or during this conference, whether or whether it is or whether it is really focusing on the things that the larger CRAs are also concerned about. Because if I go through, you know, all of the content
The sessions.
in the session and the conferences, it looks to me, it seems more like entry to mid-level as it does executive. And feel free to disagree with me on that point if you want. I also know too, and I PBSA does a good job of trying to get as many people to put in speaking prospectuses as they can, and maybe those speaking prospectuses just aren't hitting those hitting those things either. So
I want to put a pin
not.
on this conversation because I think you're making a lot of good points, and I think you all are chomping at the bits to get into the content, right?
Fair
And
enough.
I want to, but I want to get back to the ROI conversation before we wrap it up because there's a lot to be said about content. I think it also, what I want to ask you guys, tease up content because it will really be tangible. I think I'm very mindful also of like there's are a lot of sponsors from PBSA here with us today. Right. And so I want to give us an opportunity to talk about that the concept that you guys were just talking about real business happening outside of the booth. Okay. So if you're thinking about sponsors and you guys are thinking about being a vendor there, how can the sponsors and vendors play their part here, right? Taking it off the content, taking it off the programming of PBSA and thinking about sponsors and vendors and how they can rethink their PBSA presence and rethink their PBSA investments that might contribute to this conversation both in terms of value but also in terms of the ROI conversation of getting the most from their time from their investment there. So from the sponsor's perspective, what are your guys' thoughts? If you were and I'll ask this really succinctly, okay? Because I like this. Top three recommendations to make the most out of PBSA from a sponsor.
Kevin, go ahead, and then I have a very, I think I have a perspective on this.
Okay.
I think an effective way to help break through that, Bianca, is when sponsors, when they're talking with attendees or end users, challenge them to describe, not challenge them, it's an adversarial conversation, but like, it's more about them and not about you. Like, I love that you're located here and you're accurate and you're timely and you're fast and all the things that everybody says, but like, hey, what problem do you have that I might be able to help with? Or what are some of the challenges? And have the conversation on that level. Have it focused on the person that you're talking to rather than just kind of projectile vomiting your thing and your story at them. Engage them where they are and look to see if they have a problem that you can help solve, not the other way around. Like everybody knows,
Not a great one.
like, yeah, it's like we're all here. It's family reunion. We're walking by the same people 5, 6 times over a 3-day period. Like, we don't necessarily need to know who you are. We need to know more about how you can help us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry.
I say I totally agree with that. And if you're a sponsor and you're an exhibitor and you're like, man, it's the same thing every conference. It's just rows and rows and rows of booths. Like, then be different. Then do something different than everybody else is doing. One of the things that always sticks out to me, and it's fresh because I just talked to him 2 days ago. And if he's listening, I want to say hi, John Close. But John used to just have a desk and a couch in his booth, and his couch was always full of people, and he just sat there and had conversations all day long, and it was very effective for him to bring on clients. So he was a little bit different than everybody else. So that's what I would suggest.
Yeah, so I agree with both of those things. Here's what I started to do a little bit differently at the conference over the last few years. I focused a lot on the things that happen outside of the exhibit hall. And so we whether it was private dinners that we would have with customers, where we really got that time, A, to be able to show them that we appreciate their business, or for prospective new customers that that we do things like this. But it was engaging them more privately than you can on on the conference floor. So maybe I was spending less money on the booth. And for those of you in San Antonio that remember, the booth never showed up. That was not intentional. But the things that we could do outside of the conference that would allow us to get one-on-one with our customers. So whether that was dinners, whether that was we did a Boston Red Sox thing last year at Fenway Park where we had a suite. And given that was an expensive one, you don't need to spend all that kind of money in order to do it. But that to me is where relationships are really set. And I think that's more along the lines of what everybody else is saying too.
I think it's one of the things we talk about ROI. You tend to think about that in terms of how much business did I get out of the show, but you can't measure the ROIs quite as easily on strengthening the bonds with the current customers, saying, yeah, you matter. I want to keep your relationship. What matters? What do I need to change? What are you looking for? What can we do different? That value is a little bit harder to quantify, but if you've got a lot of your customers in one place at the show, it's a lot cheaper than traveling around to five or six or seven or eight different locations to meet them all one-on-one. And there's some value from them talking to each other as well. So I think it's a little bit harder to quantify, but not just new business, but how do you strengthen that existing business like you guys were talking about?
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I'll add my two cents in that. I mean, a lot of the CRAs that I work with too, and as when I, partnered with many in the past, in my past life at Social Intelligence, what I know for sure, and what I think some of the larger, definitely the larger CRAs do really well, is leaning into the upsells and account management, and how much effort that you do need to put into that and make a priority in your business, and how much great return, and honestly, great margins and great everything there, from those opportunities. And so, to Andy's point, that strengthening those relations, growing those relationships that are already existing, even beyond the new business stuff, which everybody wants and loves too. But anyway, just thought I'd add my two cents in there. Jason, what else you got for the sponsors here?
You can see me moving my head like I want to talk. I would say, I guess I can speak, from the position of a sponsor slash not exhibitor, but just your vendor, because I've gotten all of my business from going to the PBSA conference twice a year as a consultant. So, but being an exhibitor is probably not in our strategy, but the events that we run, our happy hour and everything else, that's where we get all of our business. So.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is not disparaging what they're doing inside the exhibit hall, but that is our approach. Do the spot, sponsor the happy hour, set up one-on-one meetings out, outside of the conference, and attend some dinners and networking sessions.
I mean,
Let's talk about
frankly,
that
yeah.
a little bit. I have an interesting question here, and thinking about these things, getting ready for this. So, like, all the networking, hallway chats, being at these conferences and kind of outside the booth, how do you kind of intentionally create those accidental moments? Like, how can you really, what's your best advice for kind of just getting into a group, getting conversations started? Like, I know it probably sounds like pretty straightforward, but this is really tough stuff for a lot of people. It's really tough stuff for a lot of people to, I have this famous story, me and Nancy Ault. She was a partner of mine. We had emailed with each other for years and years and years, but we never saw each other face to face. And just that one party, I was like, "Can I stand next to you at this cocktail booth?" Like, whatever. We started chatting. We're chatting for like a couple minutes, and we realize we've known each other for years via email. And talk about that deepening of that relationship and that growth, and really, we created a friendship from there in a really true way. And so, showing up to the parties, infiltrating, talking, like, what's your guys' best tips on just kind of working the room here,
I'll take that a step back because I've been doing it for the last week. I email everybody I know going to the conference before I go to the conference, or not necessarily email. I'll text them, or I'll go to LinkedIn and do it through a chat there. But hey, I'm going to be at the conference next week. Love to spend some time sitting down with you. Let's catch up. Then I'll run into them in the exhibit hall, and then we will stand at the table and have lunch together or whatever. So I spend quite a bit of time prior to the conference going through everybody I know that I think will be there. And just sending them a personal note, not a blast through, MailChimp or anything like that. It's personal.
Yeah.
Where
Well, and I
I think.
agree, but what I would say is, Jason, since you are the king of PBSA, everybody knows you. But I think actually what might be a very helpful tip for those that are somewhat new to the industry or new to the conference is we do seem like a bit of a cliquish group because we all have our friends there, but we're not. And I don't think anybody else is. So don't be shy to go introduce yourself, or have somebody that you know there introduce you to somebody that you want to talk to. Don't be afraid to try and get in there, because that's the key to me.
I was thinking a lot about that, Nick. It is, and as much as I probably come across as an extrovert, I think all of us, walk up to a table with 10 people you don't know, an empty spot with your plate of food, and you're like, I don't know, right?
It's
So
hard to do, right?
that is normal. Everybody feels that way. One thought, and I have two of those happy accident comments that Bianca mentioned. Something I used to do years ago, and I'm cognizant that we're not always talking to, we don't always want to be like, oh, spend money to get it, spend money to get it, spend money to get it. But I would always do like a Sunday night roundtable dinner with like eight people, 6 to 8 people. And you can do this at a dinner, or you can do this like in the exhibit hall or in the lobby. So both solutions are the same. What I always valued through both of those ways I'm talking about it is if you bring people together who don't know each other, right? Or, hey, I've known you for 8 years, I've known you for 10 years, you guys might benefit from each other. So creating kind of those triangular conversations, or more open, or more of a round table where people can kind of really feed off each other is to me always an effective strategy that goes a little bit beyond the one-on-one objective or the one-on-one happy accident. I like the happy accidents with like, six people involved. Now you do kind of have to plan that though. So some of it is an intentional accident, but just look for opportunities to bring people together and everybody benefits from those.
Yeah, I think the two pieces of advice, one kind of playing off what you're saying. When you go and you sit at that random table, when you go up to that random person, don't start trying to sell right away. Don't start, just going on and on. Ask questions, learn legitimately, both personal and professional, but try to make the connection first. Don't worry about the transactional nature of it. Be more personal. And the other thing from the people, especially those that are really new to this and don't know anybody, and you're trying to figure out who do I walk up to, who do I go say hi to, go look for someone who's got a lot of ribbons on their name tag. Those are the people that are kind of showing off. I've done it before too. We got, what all these things. I'm a speaker. I'm this. I'm that. As people are trying to, broadcast that, they're probably going to be as open as anybody to meeting somebody new and talking. So you're
That
looking
or
for easy.
anybody that's standing alone too, Andy. Like nobody chooses to stand alone at these things. And
No.
as awkward as it can be, like that's the way to do it.
And I've gone
Great
up to the table
suggestion,
and sit
Andy.
down with strangers, and after 30 seconds they started having their conversation again. I'm like, all right, let me finish my lunch and move on. It happens sometimes, it's just part of the game. But overall, generally it's a really good group. I think anybody going up to talk to somebody new, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
One of my favorite stories at NAPBS back in the day when it was called that. Bianca, this will be familiar to you when I tell the story. So I when social media background screening first started coming out, we were really critical of it.
Yes, I
And
know.
I don't think mean-spirited, but we wondered how this was going to play with the FCRA and all of those things. And we had written some blogs. And my favorite moment was Max walked up to me. We had never met each other before. And I think it was in DC. And he walks up to me and he introduces himself and he goes, "I have a bone to pick with you." And we became very fast friends as a result of that. I loved it. He walked up to me. We talked about the social media stuff. I didn't 100% agree with him on everything, but we became very good friends. And I enjoyed meeting him and Jeff and the other guys at that conference.
And you know,
Brought you
they
over to the
Max
dark side eventually. Max Strucker's the best. Shout out Max.
still thinks that we wrote a letter to the FTC complaining about social media
Oh,
background
he'll
screening.
go to his grave believing that.
It was absolutely not us. That's like a 17-year-old.
I've never heard that story, and I'm sorry to hear that he thought that,
I have, and that's, man, that's like a 17-year-old story there, Jason.
Yeah, and it was a very well-written letter, so that takes me out of the equation. I didn't write
Fair. Nick,
Well,
you're
you
not
could have used me as
off
your
the top of that.
ghostwriter as you always do.
True, true, true.
But before we pivot, guys, I want to jump in and just, we're about a half hour in. I wanted to say thanks again to Inform Data, our sponsor. If you care about coverage, accuracy, keeping your SLAs, you'll really enjoy how Inform Data makes complex data feel simple. Learn more at informdata.com to see how they turn background screening into a competitive advantage, and find them and connect with a data expert today, next week, next month in Anaheim. They're there if you want to reach out and find them. So thanks again, guys.
Excellent. Shout out to also the chat in here. We have some great suggestions. Yeah, if you're kind of wandering around PBSA, not sure to talk to, go grab a ferret. Jamie's always happy to toss you a ferret. We also have a she mentioned that in the chat here. Come talk to her. Come get a ferret. Tyler also mentioned here that he got a great drug testing vendor through recommendation over a whiskey with a longtime PBSA member who sold the company on how good they are. It was the most valuable conversation in my memory, and that was in Arlington. So I love your guys' suggestions here of just like how to break the ice, how to go like talk to people. And just those values of those outside the booth conversations and to everybody's point here, how to really engage with people and to have fun with it, of
Tyler
course.
just wanted to stress, though, how important the whiskey was to that conversation. He's now reinforced it. Well done, Tyler.
The whiskey was great, she
You
says.
know, and you can also find us, and we'll introduce you to people. Like, that's kind of what we do. We're connectors. So if there's somebody you want to meet and you really want to meet them, and maybe we know them, so we'll be happy to make an introduction for you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so now let's get into it, guys. You guys were chomping at the bits with the content conversation. Let's pivot to that a little bit. Let's pivot to that. And guys, keep it up. Keep it going in the chat here. I love the conversations over here and your suggestions, your stories. That's what we're here for, is to share great tips and great advice. And I'm sure everybody's going to have a lot to say about the content conversation. I think this is a conversation that certainly is spoken about at PBSA while I'm there. I think a lot of people have ideas or thoughts on content. We're talking about content, we're talking about programming. Nick, you had mentioned the executive track. I think it's a really interesting idea. I think there is not just outside of the large CRAs, I'm just thinking about the people that are there. I think there are a lot of kind of mid-sized businesses, and some of these folks don't necessarily think about themselves as executives, but they are, right? And I think it could really be an opportunity to help uplift some of the ways that they think about their business, how they think about growing their business, how they think about what the next 3 to 5 years might look like in their own career and their own life. And so, what's the vision there? Talk about that executive, concept, and maybe even talk about some ideas. And hey, this might be an initiative that iCube takes on to bring about, to have some sort of roundtable. If Tell us in the chat, we're give the people what we want, what they want, right? So yeah, tell us more about your executive track idea.
Yeah, so to me, it's content that really does appeal to the kinds of things that executives and business owners struggle with every single day. But it's not things like how do I fulfill verifications better? It's more along the lines of, what does my strategic planning look like? It's things like what is the market telling me right now, whether it is the background screening M&A market, whether it is the employment market, whether it's looking at the economy and forecasting what's going on with that. I think there are things like that. I also think that there is a great opportunity for roundtable discussions where topics can be brought up ahead of time that are important to those that qualify for the executive track, where they really can dive into issues together. And maybe it's not a formal presentation where somebody's standing up with a PowerPoint, but maybe it's literally sitting around a large roundtable, and having a discussion that is meaningful and impactful to their businesses.
What I love about this, I've deferred a bunch of times, Jason, to everybody in the room. I'm taking this one.
Go for it.
What I love about this, and admittedly, we've talked about this publicly, privately, webinars, podcasts, probably a better iCubed Advisors solution, but certainly opportunities within PBSA. And that's where I was coming from earlier when I said, hey, was our experience as business owners with PBSA the norm or unique? And where I think it's unique a bit is because all those things Nick just mentioned, we were able to get a lot out of the conference, networking, our associations with people, et cetera, et cetera. And we all want this for those small business owners. Bianca, great point. They don't think of themselves as leaders, but they sure are, to be able to take business solutions back into their organizations, make more money, increase margins, cut turnaround times. I will say, space is always a factor, exhibit halls, conferences, right? But I've always been proud to sit on the peer review committee for sessions. And this year, I think there were something like 80 sessions, and maybe 25 got picked, but they were mostly overwhelmingly product focused, process focused, compliance, operations. There weren't a lot of sessions on essentially what Nick is talking about right now. I see opportunities there. There's always opportunities to
Yeah,
invest.
two points I want to make. First of all, I want to add on to the idea. I think you have to have investment bankers in that meeting. I think you have to have industry analysts in that meeting. I think you have to have private equity people in the in those meetings. And that I think those will be really helpful. The other thing, Kevin, that what you were picking up on with the topics, you know, yes, there's some AI in here. The two biggest things I think that attendees should be looking for at this PBSA, and I know we're jumping ahead, but this deals with content, AI. There's got to be, I cannot stress enough how important this topic is. I think there are maybe two presentations on AI, and I think that those are huge topics that people need to dig in on. The other huge one, and Kevin alluded to it before when he was talking about creating new products, is whether it's new products or just talking about how is the industry going to grow its market share, its business. Those are really important topics. I'm not sure there's anything really on that, but correct me if I'm wrong. As
There's a
far as,
few.
yeah, okay.
There's a few. And
I have another question. Go ahead.
I propose doing an executive track to PBSA. It's on their radar. It's one of the reasons I joined the leadership development committee there. I know how important it is to a lot of people. And personally, and I've told this story several times on podcasts, many years ago, we were making the transition to not have the mid-year and the annual be the times that they're at right now. We skipped one of the conferences. This is going back about 15, 20 years. And in turn, Cliff Williams from Innovative had his own little round table. We flew in like 20 people, and we spent the weekend just sitting around a conference table talking about how to grow our businesses and the struggles that we were having in our businesses because we were all going hockey stick at that point. And some of the best advice I had ever gotten from another competitor, I got at that meeting. And we were struggling to find good employees, even though we were surrounded by six colleges in Cleveland. And I'm not going to give her name, but she's one of our competitors was like, we've been really successful hiring music majors because they think differently, they're incredibly smart, they think investigatively, and really they want to play music. So they just need a job during the day. So they'll be some of your best employees. And we did that. And some of our best employees were musicians. So I got that little bit of information from going to a round table. So I think there's a lot of value going forward in doing something like that for the future.
The best point you just made, Jason, and yes, I do think we are collaborative and collegial, but there's still that wall from a competitive standpoint that's, I think, just natural to everybody. Best point you made, Jason, is a competitor gave you your best idea. I have long felt that if you are a CRA in Missouri, you are not harmed by networking, sharing secrets, whatever, with somebody in Minnesota and vice versa. The world is a
Totally
huge
agree.
place. This is a $6 billion industry. Start talking, sharing, show a little skin. These are great ways to get good ideas to help propel your businesses forward.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that we had, probably 10 of us. This is going back 15 years too, but we're still all friends. We had this kind of back channel PBSA compliance text going that, if we needed to ask somebody a question in confidence, we knew we could do it. And it was all for usually compliance things or how to solve us, a problem. Those are all relationships that we had because we trusted each other through PBSA.
Yeah, I mean, great advice. And on that note, I would say that, like, you know, in addition to our conversations here about outside the booth and things like that, both for sponsors, I think especially for sponsors or vendors that are going to be at the conference, is showing up to the sessions. I can't tell you how many conversations and how much business I made personally by, yes, we had a booth, but then I would also, you know, pop into the sessions and you're sitting shoulder to shoulder with people, you're chatting, you're getting to know each other, you're passing business cards, you're all this kind of stuff. Like, it's an excellent opportunity, obviously, not only to learn something potentially, but also to, you know, rub shoulders literally with the people that are sitting next to you. So on that note, you know, before we close out here, I want to just kind of, you know, what sessions are you guys going to? What are the standout sessions for you guys that are on your radar that you're thinking about attending? Nick, you mentioned some AI ones. Jason, what are you looking at?
There's two M&A ones that I plan on going to, and the AI one, of course.
Yeah.
I
Nick, how about you?
the two that I've earmarked is first leveraging AI to build a better business, moderated by our good friend here, Andy Hellman.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going to go to that anymore.
And then, of
Conference,
course,
yeah.
our buddies from Tandem AI, Justin Cameron and Bill Wilder, and then Julie Hackman is also going to be on that, and Navin Chung.
That's gonna be a great one.
Navin, I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. That's a good one. And then I never miss a chance to see Angela Preston. And so the Friction Five, tackling top tensions between legal and the business. Every time Kelly, Angela, and Kelly Ubell, Angela, and Kelly O'Shea talk, I want to listen. I'm going to that.
Awesome. I see some end user stuff in there too, so I think that's an interesting one. I was thinking about you, Kevin. What's on your radar for PBSA sessions?
Yeah, so Rebecca Weiser at CoStar, previously at BlackRock, previously at Boeing, and Aaron Novak from Uber, and I are doing a panel on the end users. Very excited to kind of dive into some of their challenges, some of their questions, so the audience can kind of hear from them on that end user perspective. And of course, I bring the perspective of working with a lot of end users because of the work that we do inside of iCubed Advisors. So that will be really fun. Eric at Argus Verify is doing something on AI. Super, super excited about that one. So really looking forward to a lot of content. And I agree with what you guys had said about, hey, vendors, it's okay to step out of the booth. I long believed that an empty booth was a sign of weakness. You should never leave a booth empty. But we also
Not at
know
this conference.
if you've
I leave the booth.
yeah, if you've been to more than one of these, like really, I said it a half hour ago, you're gonna walk past the five or six people. You're gonna walk past them five or six times. Like if you want a time to talk, you're gonna find a time to talk to them. Get to the sessions, make a couple new friends, sit next to somebody you don't know. That's a really effective use of 40 minutes.
Hey, by the way, let's give a shout out to Jamie Francos too from Fairly, who is leading a session. Can AI judge character? That ought to be a good one, and I will definitely be there as well. And I expect my free stuffed ferret, Jamie.
Can't get enough of those ferrets. Andy, outside of your own, of course, I don't know if you'll just be preparing for your own speaking moments the whole time, but what are you looking forward to getting involved in there?
Yeah, I mean the one that's it's a little more old school, but I say anything that's done by the attorneys. Every time I sit in one of those sessions by the attorneys, you learn something, you get some good tidbit. I mean, you pay a lot of money for the hourly advice from the attorneys, and I know they're not giving legal advice, quote unquote, during these sessions, but you can pick up some really good nuggets for no marginal cost to it. So I think those are good. Yeah. I agree with everything everybody else says. That's the one I would add on if you're especially if you're kind of new. Go to the attorney sessions, get some good free advice.
Not a bad tip. I mean, you're not right with, I mean, you're not wrong with that billing per hour fee. You know what I mean? So take notes, people, while you can. The ferrets have accessories, guys. Breaking news this year. So that's going to be super exciting. Also, Tyler, I see in the chat you said something about can we have a live impromptu webinar from the conference for those who can't attend? It's funny you mentioned that. It's something
Great
that's been
idea.
top of
Yeah.
mind for us.
Love that.
Great idea. And actually, it's a great time to let you guys know. One of the things we've decided to do this year is to kind of tease that out and test that out a little bit. So, the five of us here are going to be, you're going to be seeing us. Well, I'm teaching these boys how to be influencers, guys. Okay. I don't know how, why I'm teaching. It's not like I know how to do this, but what we're going to be doing is we'll have some lavalier mics and we're going to be going around and we're going to be asking five key questions from several people throughout the conference. You'll find us at the Informed Data booth quite a bit. You'll find us at a variety of our partner booths as we get around PBSA, and you'll find us just kind of, milling about, doing our thing. And so if you want to be interviewed, come find us. Come find us. We'll have probably one of those obnoxious ring lights, and we'll definitely have some mics, and we'll be recording that, and we'll be getting live feedback from how everybody is doing at the conference, what they're thinking about, and of course, we'll be sharing those clips and sharing those as time goes on through the rest of the year. So look out for that. Anything else you guys want to add to that, boys?
No, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to interviewing people. If you guys are looking for a way to break the ice with us, come up. We'll interview you on camera, and we're going to be releasing all these things throughout the year. So, looking forward to that.
I've got one piece of advice for both the sponsors and the attendees. It's post-conference follow-up. So initially, I was just thinking of this for sponsors. Obviously, you want to follow up with the people that you talk to during the conference, and you would be amazed at the numbers. I think they show something like 80% of leads are never followed up on after a conference. That's crazy. So you got to do that. If you're an attendee, though, and Jason, this was always important for us when we went there, is you take a lot of notes, hopefully, while you're there about things you want to do. The best time to do those things after the conference is immediately afterwards. All otherwise, they fall to the cutting room floor. So bring that value back. And this is also for those that are not business owners that are going to there. Bringing that value back is what justifies you going there every year. So let's make it hard for the executives at our organizations to say no to us going to PBSA.
All right, hear, hear. Okay, so let's close this out, guys. We're gonna have a rapid fire question. You can pick your poison. I think I'm gonna let you guys pick your poison on which question you want to answer. You can give us one of your best networking tip in one sentence. Might be challenging for some of you. I'm not gonna point
We
fingers.
can't do one
Might
sentence.
be challenging. Or a bold prediction. What will
Can we use
be the
commas and semicolons and stuff? Like,
Right. A
yeah,
run-on
Kevin,
sentence.
you'll have the largest run-on sentence of all time.
Okay, then your bold prediction. What will be the hot topic at PBSA this year and potentially, in the near future here with this crowd?
One, two, three, we can all spit out the same thing, right? Yes. Thank you.
AI.
Yeah.
AI will be the hot
Oh.
topic. But I'm very interested to see if people walk away saying, okay, I have a practical, more knowledgeable understanding of AI, as opposed to, okay, there's this thing out here and I should wonder about this state legislature and AI and this like more nebulous. Like AI's coming to your business, it is here. My wife's actually at a 3-day conference on it this week. Are there practical takeaways for using AI in your business? I think there will be. Eric's presentation I just mentioned, the Tandem team. So I think there will, and I think people are going to be happy with those sessions.
Who else? What else, guys? Is it just AI? End of sentence, period. That is the shortest sentence
Business
any of you have
growth.
ever said.
How do you grow your business? What is this economy throwing at you? How do you grow your business? That has to be paramount right now. We all see what's going on with the employment numbers. They've been fairly stagnant. We've all seen what's going on with the quit rates, about those also. Not record lows, but very low. We got to figure out how we're going to be doing more business at more profitable margins now.
I'm gonna quickly just piggyback quickly on what Nick had just said, right? I said earlier that I'm not wired as a new product guy. I'm also not wired as an envelope pusher. And I'm thinking very aggressively about both of those things. And it is a bit out of character for me, which is why I'm so passionate talking about it. Envelope pushing, new ideas, new strategies, and usually, oh, what are the regulators? Oh, the litigation, oh, the EOC, oh, the CFPB. Well, CFPB's gone. EEOC just got quorum again after 9 months. There's no, so those of us that sit around and think, I'm going to wait for somebody to tell me that something is okay. I'm going to wait until there's a court ruling or a law or a regulation that says I can try this new idea. No one is coming to save you. So what I'm really interested in is people, topics, opportunities, products to sell new things in new ways and sell new solutions. I'm not talking about just violating an FCRA standard we've all known for 20 years, but like nobody's going to tell you whether something you want to do is or isn't okay. Ask the lawyers, listen to the people, but like at the end of the day, you are the one who is going to have to make that decision. Nobody's going to come and give you permission to do anything.
Could not agree more, especially on new products. Like, it might sound like it might be compliant or this or that. Like, there's some things you just got to try as a business.
I've always been bullish in that arena, but anyway, Andy, last big predictions, last thoughts?
Well, I'm going to go with the AI. I think AI companies are still going to be struggling to figure out exactly how to implement it in a year. Some will have hit it, some will have nailed it, but a lot of us are going to be thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. I'm still struggling. I haven't made it work. So I think AI will still be there. I'm saying that networking thing and for the show in general, ask questions, learn, not teach. A lot of us like to go out, myself included, sometimes and talk and what do we know and preach to people and things like that, but try to focus more on asking questions and learning than on teaching and talking.
Yeah, agree. For my part, I will say this. I think what I hear a lot from clients and folks in the industry is how are we getting folks' attention? How, getting new business, it's you're feeling the pressure of the big guys or just kind of people being people ignoring you. We were actually talking about a little bit earlier today about how many people when they sign up for PBSA actually don't opt into emails. Why does that happen? Well, because we get a lot of them. We get a lot of emails. We get a lot of phone calls. And so this concept of how do you break through, how do you get, better messaging out there so you can at least start the conversation. I think that is a great topic of discussion amongst us all. And I think Kevin made a great point earlier, which I'll leave you with this. And my big talk is make it about them. I think that's about as one sentence and about as succinct as we can get here. Although don't threaten me with a good time with a whole ass webinar on just that conversation. So anyway, thank you guys all so much for your participation in chat. This is the very favorite part for us of just seeing how active, how interested, and we really appreciate you showing up and being here. And we really appreciate you guys talking to us, talking to each other. We're here to share these stories. We're here to make it more real. You just don't want to hear it from us. We want to hear from the people of what you guys want. And so keep giving us those great ideas. Keep helping out your audience. Kevin, before we go, a little bit more on Informed Data, our wonderful sponsor for today.
Well, thanks to Informed Data for sponsoring the webinar. Again, whether it's collaborations, APIs, conforming with SLAs, meeting your clients' needs, the one we talked about, meet them where they are. What do they need? And might Informed Data be part of that solution? There'll be a PBSA. You can find them at informeddata.com. Reach out, partner with a data expert today. Thanks again for their sponsorship and support of iCubed Advisors. And thanks everybody for joining us today. We'll see you in 10 days.
See you in Anaheim, y'all. Bye now.